I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 18. Book of the Revelation, chapter 18. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We are looking, and have been for almost a year now, at the Old Testament prophets and what the Old Testament prophets have to say about the second coming of Christ. You say, well, Pastor, you're in the New Testament in Revelation. I know, but we're going to switch back in just a minute. But the point that I have been making basically last couple of Wednesday nights is that these Old Testament prophets were given prophecies and wrote their prophecies down and in their books of the Old Testament, and what they prophesied about is the same thing that John prophesied about in Revelation. We started, and we will be back in chapter 17 tonight. I'm going to refer to a couple of things out of the first part of 17 again. But the same vision that John saw of the last days is the same vision that Isaiah saw and that Jeremiah saw, and that Ezekiel saw, and Daniel saw, and Hosea, and Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, and Zechariah, and all the rest of them. David in the Psalms, Moses in the Law, all of them were given prophecies about the same events. All right, now, with that in mind, look at chapter 18, and I'll begin reading in verse 17. It says, "For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster," now listen very carefully to this verse, "and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Rome." All right, just making sure you're listening. No. "Thus, with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, let's pray, and then we'll begin. I'm going to go a different direction than what I thought I was going to go. Just to be honest with you, I entitled this a look at Jeremiah's geography. A look at Jeremiah's geography, and once I got to the geography, then I kind of went another direction. So my title really doesn't cover everything that I'm going to share with you tonight. But let's pray, and then we'll see what happens. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray your blessings upon our study of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, when we see this passage of Scripture before us, and Lord, we think of the seriousness of the language here. We realize that this is not a game. There's a real devil who is out to destroy and to ruin and to thwart the plan of God and the work of God and the people of God. So, Lord, I pray that we will realize the seriousness of what we're studying here. Lord, give us understanding. Help us to see clearly the parallel that is made between Isaiah and Jeremiah and John and Joel and John. And Lord, they all seeing the same thing. They're all giving us a prophecy of the same event. And so, Lord, bless us and help us to see that and understand it and to tie Scripture together with Scripture and let the Word of God interpret the Word of God. So, Lord, bless us tonight. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have been looking at, for the last three or four Wednesday nights now, specifically, we've been looking at the kingdom of the beast. We read about that in chapter 17. We were introduced to it in chapter 17, in verse 5, Mystery Babylon. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. Someone asked me last week why verse 5 is all in capital letters. Well, the reason is because this is like a moniker for the beast. This is for the kingdom. This is like a title, if you will. Look at it. You know, when you go into a town or you go into a city, there's a sign there that welcomes you into the city. Well, look at it in that light. That this is the name that God gives to this kingdom of the Antichrist, and He calls it Mystery Babylon. And he capitalizes it to show you the seriousness of what's going on here. So it's like a written out like a sign to identify something that is as big as the world itself. I'd also someone asked me this last week that if this Babylon is the ancient city of Babylon rebuilt. No, I don't think it is. I don't think that this, whenever you see the word in verse like 17:5, whenever you see Mystery Babylon, or in our text in 21, whenever you see that, it's not talking about a literal city, the literal city of Babylon. If you remember, Babylon, the city, was destroyed a long, long time ago. If you look at 17:5, Revelation 17:5, you'll see the word mystery. That's why God calls this Babylon, Mystery Babylon. It's not the literal city of Babylon that is being referred to here. It's Mystery Babylon. And I'll show you in just a little bit. It's a John saw the Mystery Babylon as a woman. And I will show you a little bit later on. Remember the symbolism, and I'll show you from another passage that that this is a kingdom. This is an entity, if you will. So remember also that we went back into Genesis 11. And I showed you that this whole anti-God movement started in Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel, which eventually became Babylon. And that was just a couple hundred years after the flood. And so the people said, let us build us a tower that will reach into heaven. And they were intent on taking over heaven and throwing God off the throne and ruling themselves. And so this is not a literal city. This Mystery Babylon will be a kingdom ruled by the beast and is inclusive, as we have learned over the last 10 months. This kingdom is inclusive of all the nations of the crescent that form the crescent around little old Israel, and will with this spirit of rebellion against God that so dominates their religion and dominates their minds, it will culminate with that same rebellious spirit, and a combination of nations will make up the beast kingdom. Now, if you take all the names of the nations that are mentioned in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and in the Psalms and in the minor prophets, you will see the mystery that is the beast kingdom. That's the kingdom. That if you take all those nations, folks, you've got to take the Word of God and make your theology fit the Word of God. You don't take your theology and make the Bible fit your theology. You understand that? You've got to have your theology fit the Bible, not the Bible fit your theology. And we have read literal names in all of these Old Testament prophets. We have read nations and names of nations. And these nations that are listed in the prophets and in these Old Testament scriptures are all nations that make up a crescent around the nation of Israel. And these are the nations that will be the kingdom of the beast. These nations are Mystery Babylon, and it is this kingdom that will, under the leadership of the Antichrist, come against Israel during the last part of the tribulation period with the intent of destroying the Jews. And amazingly, the thing that ties all of these nations that the Bible mentions by name, the thing that ties them together is their religion, Islam. That's the thing that ties all of the nations that are mentioned in the prophets together. And now John sees it, and he doesn't go into naming the individual nations like Isaiah did, or Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, or any of the other Old Testament prophets. John just simply looks at the big picture, and he sees the kingdom of the beast, and he calls it Mystery Babylon. Why? Because it all started with Babylon. It all started at Babel. In Genesis chapter 11. And so last week we looked at Isaiah 13, And we saw that Isaiah received from the Lord this vision of the beast kingdom. He saw the destruction of this kingdom in Isaiah 13. Now, please, again, let me emphasize that this is not a reference to the city of Babylon. Today, there is no city of Babylon. It is nothing but ruins. That's all that's there. This is not a reference to a literal city. It is a reference to a kingdom, the kingdom of the Antichrist, which God in Revelation 17 and 18, in Isaiah 11, 13, 21, and a bunch of others, calls Babylon. God calls this kingdom Babylon. Included in that kingdom are all the nations of the crescent, all the nations that are specifically called out by name in the prophets, including Egypt and Lebanon and Syria and Jordan, Edom and Moab, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and all the rest. So if you remember from last week when we were in Isaiah 13, Isaiah said that the day of the Lord will bring the wrath of God's judgment upon this kingdom of the beast. Now, in Revelation 18, where I read to you tonight, look at it, please. In Revelation 18, we see John giving us a description of the of this destruction. Isaiah 13 calls it the day of the Lord. And he tells us that God's wrath will be upon the kingdom of the beast. In Revelation 18, we see John telling us that the ships in the sea saw the smoke of her burning. Look at it, please. Verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? When the ships in the sea saw the burning, they knew that the destruction had come. Now, when I read that, I could not help, I could still see it in my mind's eye, I could not help but think of that story or that back to 9/11 when the planes flew into the towers and you saw the smoke as Fox News stood back and they took a big wide picture of it and showed that smoke trail going out across the city and out into the Atlantic Ocean. And my mind went back to that, and it was just as fresh as if it happened on yesterday. And folks, according to John's vision here in this 18th chapter, there will be a trail of smoke ascending from the destruction, from the fire of Christ's judgment upon the harlot, upon the kingdom of the Antichrist, upon mystery Babylon, that will be like the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, now, hold your place right here and remember all this. Hold your place, and let me take you back now to Jeremiah chapter 49. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 49. All right, now have it so you can flip, back and forth. I want y'all to just take my word for it, all right? I want you to just take my word. Folks, listen. You've got to use the Bible. All right? You've got to use the Bible. Now, my point to you tonight is what John saw, Jeremiah saw. What John saw, we saw it last week. What John saw, Isaiah saw. Now, we saw that last week. I'm going to show you tonight that what John saw in Revelation 17 and 18, Jeremiah saw here in his book. Look, please, at verse 21. Jeremiah 49, verse 21. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the what? In the Red Sea. Look up at verse 18. Well, look at verse 17 and then 18. As it says, also Edom, remember Edom, that's southern Jordan today, but it was Arabia back in Bible times. There was no Jordan back in Bible times. It was either Edom or Moab. But nonetheless, also Edom shall be a, what's the next word?
Desolation.
Now you know what that means, don't you? Destroyed. Edom shall be destroyed, a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Now, according to Jeremiah 49, when the harlot is destroyed, it will the smoke of her judgment will be seen from afar. This verse tells us that when Babylon is destroyed, the noise thereof will be heard in the Red Sea. The smoke will be seen from the sea captains in the Red Sea. Now, going back to Revelation, hold your place, but going back to Revelation, in verse 18 of chapter 18, the sailors, the shipmasters, all the company in the ships and the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Now, question, where are these ships in Revelation 18 that they're seeing this smoke and this destruction? Are they in the Gulf of Mexico? Are they in the Mediterranean? No. According to Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 21, Jeremiah said they're in the Red Sea. Now, if you will look at your map, I mean, you will see that Arabia, the desert that Isaiah was speaking about last week, that the desert is, it comes right, the Red Sea goes right along beside of it. And the destruction. Now, next Wednesday night, I'm going to go into Isaiah. I'm tempted to do it right now, but I'm not. I'm going to wait because I don't have time to do another message between now and next Wednesday night. Christmas is Saturday, and I'm supposed to go to West Virginia Monday morning. I don't know if we're going to make it, but we're having my dad's 80th birthday party Monday night in Beckley, and I don't know if we're going to be able to make it. And then I have a board meeting Tuesday night with Glenn Matthews Revival Crusades, and I got to be there to vote him a raise, and then zip back here for Wednesday night service. So I'm not going to have time to do it. So I'm going to wait. I'm not going to do it. But next Wednesday night, I'll just tell you what it is. I'm going to show you how bad and how destructive this fire is going to be. Now, what is Saudi Arabia's biggest thing? There you go. Oh my, wait till you read. It's unreal. It's all, folks, it's been here all along. How have we missed this? I do not know. I know because we don't read the Bible. And we get stuck in a certain mindset. Now let me ask you a question. Jeremiah said the smoke, or John said the smoke will be seen from the sea captains. Jeremiah said that the sea is the Red Sea. Now, question. Is Rome or the literal ancient city of Babylon, or is New York City or London or Amsterdam or Beijing situated on the Red Sea? And the answer to that is no. No. So what we see here is Jeremiah, listen now, just think. What we see here is Jeremiah giving us a geographic indicator as to where the last days Babylon will be located. And if you look at any map and you find Mecca, which is the center of Islam, which is the holiest city, quote unquote, in Islam, you will see that it sits near enough to the Red Sea that when I read for you what Isaiah says about this next week, it will clearly be seen, the smoke and the destruction from the Red Sea. The trail of smoke will clearly be seen. And Jeremiah tells us that the noise of the destruction will be heard in the Red Sea. Isn't that amazing? Now, folks, listen. I know that the tendency, and you've heard it all your life, that the mother of harlots is Babylon or is Rome. You've heard it all your life. But we have Jeremiah speaking the same language as what Isaiah said, spoke in chapter 13. And Jeremiah says that the destruction of mystery Babylon will be as Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Isaiah said. It will be as Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof. And no man shall abide there, neither shall the Son of Man dwell in it. Now, how was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? It was destroyed by God sending fire down from heaven upon them. The exact same way that Isaiah 13 told us that it happened last week. So again, Jeremiah is telling us about the same event that Isaiah tells us about, and the exact same thing that Joel 2 and 3 tells us about, and the exact same thing that that John saw in Revelation 17 and 18. Jeremiah, are you still in 49? Jeremiah is speaking of the last day's judgment of mystery Babylon that is associated with, look at verse 7, Edom. Concerning Edom. Then Teman, verse 7. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord, is wisdom no more in Teman? And then Dedan in verse 8. And then Bozrah, which was the old capital of the Edomites. Edom today is the region that is in southern Jordan. It is the land where Esau and his descendants settled. The Teman there in verse 7, that word literally means south. South. And it was along the edge of the Red Sea in the country that we know today as Yemen, along the Red Sea. Bozra was the ancient capital of the Edomites. Dedan, we learned 3 weeks ago, is Saudi Arabia. Folks, the point is, Jeremiah 49 is ultimately speaking of the last day's judgment of mystery Babylon that is associated with Edom, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. The exact same thing that Isaiah was saying, the exact same thing that Joel is saying. They're all talking about the same event. The coming of Christ and the battle that will bring the destruction to the kingdom of the beast. All right, now, very quickly, go back to 17, Revelation 17. And let me further emphasize this. I was going to move on to something else, but then a thought hit me. Look at 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the, what's the next word? Judgment. All right, the judgment. That's what we're reading about in Jeremiah 49. Judgment. Same thing. All right, let me show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many, many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the what? Wilderness. Very amazing. You know, I thought, do any of y'all have Noah Webster's dictionary? The old 17-something dictionary, 18-something dictionary, the old one. You do? A couple of you do? All right. Let me challenge you so you won't think I'm making all this up. Go look in Noah's dictionary. All right? Go look in Noah's dictionary, Noah Webster. Noah Webster's Dictionary of the English Language. And I just thought, well, let me just look up the word wilderness and see what it says. So I reached behind me. I keep one right behind my desk. I reached back and I got the dictionary. Noah Webster's Dictionary. Not one of the new Webster's dictionaries. The Noah Webster Dictionary. It's 18-something, I don't know, 27, 18. It's old, all right? And I looked up the word wilderness. Let me read you the definition. You ready? Now listen to it. It's amazing. A desert. I looked up the word wilderness. You know what he said it was? A desert. A desert. A tract of land or region uncultivated and uninhabited by human beings, whether a forest or a wide, barren plain. In the United States, it is applied only to a forest. That's what I was saying to you last week. In the United States, we think going out in the wilderness, you know, we think going out in the Appalachian Mountains, or we're going out in the Rockies, you know. We're going up in the Canadian Rockies, going out in the wilderness, going out into the tundra of Alaska, you know. We're going up to the Yukon. We're going out into the wilderness. He said, in the United States, it is applied only to a forest. In the scriptures, it is applied frequently to the deserts of Arabia. The Israelites wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching the gospel. All right? Now, going back to the Bible here. So he carried me away, verse 3, in the spirit into the wilderness, into the desert. Are you listening? And in the desert, John saw the harlot of Babylon sitting on a scarlet beast. The kingdom of the beast was in the wilderness, in the desert. And the wilderness, according to Mr. Webster, is the Arabian desert. The Arabian desert today is not just called Arabia, but it's called Saudi Arabia after the Fahd family, which when you make it plural, becomes the Saudi family. All right? So the two holiest sites in Islam are found in Saudi Arabia, Mecca and Medina. And these two cities are in the desert of Saudi Arabia. All right, you with me on that? All right, now, go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. All right, let's start up here. In chapter 23, the Lord is speaking. Look at chapter 23, 1. Then spake Jesus to the what? To the what? Multitude. All right, so he's got a whole bunch of people he's talking to in chapter 23. And it says, to the multitude and to his disciples. All right, now, in chapter 23, he's basically going to rip the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religionists of the day, he's just going to tear them apart. And he does. Rips them up in little shreds and just leaves them laying there. All right? You read it when you get home. Then they walk, he and the disciples leave. All right? They leave. They're at the temple in chapter 23. And they leave. They go out. In verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him and showed him the buildings of the temple. Now, I can imagine. Now, I don't know this, but I've been over there 13 times. And I've seen pictures of what they think the temple looked like. The Temple Mount sets up. And then you walk down a little bit, several feet. And then you go out the Eastern Gate. You go down the Kidron Valley. And then you start back up the Mount of Olives. All right, now, imagine if you will, they're walking down the Kidron Valley and they're starting up the Mount of Olives. They get up there a little bit, and then they turn around and they're eyeball level with the temple. And out here sets this massive, huge temple. Solomon built this massive temple, and then they rebuilt the temple when it was destroyed, and then Herod came and added to it, and they say that what Herod did was just absolutely unbelievable. People came from all over the known world to see it. And so here they are now, they're walking up this hillside, the Mount of Olives, and they turn around and the disciples show him the buildings of the temple. Now watch, verse 2. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Wow. They weren't expecting that. I mean, it took decades to build that thing. And Jesus turns around, looks at him, says, there's not going to be one stone left on another. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? All right, so what's the question? What's the question? What's it going to be like when you come back? He's already told them he's going to die, and then he's coming back. He'll be back. He's told them that. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right, now, jump down, please. I'm going to skip ahead. Oh, I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm running out of time. I'm having you miss so much. Look at verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's the Antichrist, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. In other words, you better get out of there, because it's going to get ugly. All right? Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now watch carefully. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not. All right, watch this next part, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Only it's not possible. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, watch this. Oh my goodness, watch. Just letting the Bible interpret the Bible. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he, speaking of Christ, right? Behold, he is in the city. No, desert. What desert? My guess, it's the same one that John's talking about here. And my guess, it's the same one Isaiah was talking about here. And my guess, it's the same one Jeremiah is talking about here. If any man say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. In other words, Jesus was telling the disciples, and it's recorded in the Bible for our benefit, that during the tribulation period, when, as Paul said, when his Antichrist declares himself to be God, that he is Christ, and he says, I'm the Christ, and they say, hey, go to the desert. Go, listen, go to Mecca if you want to see the Christ. Go to Mecca in the desert. That's where he is. Jesus said, you better not believe that. Don't believe that. He is not the Christ. There's only one Christ. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Why didn't he say, when they tell you Christ is in Jerusalem, when they tell you Christ is in the city? No, he said desert. What is the desert? Well, according to Mr. Webster, and according to the Bible, letting the Bible interpret the Bible, the desert is Arabia. And yet for 150 years now, Western theologians have wanted to say that the harlot is Rome and that Mystery Babylon is a revival of the old Roman Empire. But the point is that all of the Bible's descriptions must be met. Not just a few of them, not just one here and there, but all of them must be met. All right. Well, I hope that makes sense to you. Go back to Revelation 17:3. The angel took John into the desert. Does Rome sit in a desert? Does Amsterdam sit in a desert? London? New York City? No. If they don't, then none of these cities can be the fulfillment of these biblical prophecies. But Saudi Arabia fulfills this description exactly. Folks, my point is, no matter how you slice it, the harlot of Babylon is described as being in a literal desert. That's what the Bible says. The harlot woman is not Rome, but Babylon. She is the spiritual source that influences these different ethnic peoples that make up the kingdom of the Antichrist. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Egypt, Jordan, Gaza, Hamasistan, Gaza. Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, all the stand boys, Turkey, Libya, Morocco, all these nations that form the crescent around Israel. It only stands to reason that the center of this spiritual entity would be the city that is in the desert, which is the heart of Islam, Mecca, where the Black Rock is, where millions and millions go for the Hajj every year and march around that thing and touch it and kiss it and bow to it and pray to it. The city where 1.3 billion people on this planet every day of the year bow 5 times a day in the direction of the city to pray to Baal. I mean to Allah. Same thing. Isn't it amazing? Wait till next week. Oh my, Isaiah nails it. We'll look at it next week. All right, I hope that helps you.